opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. We are sponsored by all you good people out there in the North State, and today is January 25th, and this will be our last day time on Saturday.
Yes, it will.
I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
And we have our soundboard operator, blah, 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 and all-around great gal and producer, Savannah.
Hello.
And also we have our special guest in the studio. Yeah, boy, I'm having tongue-tied today.
Are we having issues over there?
We're having issues. We have Patrick Jones with us today. I'm not sure exactly what we're talking about. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, good. Linda.
Good, yeah. Good. Yeah. And so let's see. What do we got going? Well, we're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. And we'll be setting up a Twitter account and a Facebook account for Sovereign Minds here pretty soon. As soon as I get a spare moment, I'm not sure what those are anymore.
We don't have many of those, and it's going to get busier here pretty soon for us.
I have an appropriate quote for the day. I think I used it last week, but I should have saved it for this week. Peace is that brief, glorious moment in history when everybody stands around reloading. That's
that
Thomas Jefferson. So I like that one. Do we have any veterans events?
We do. Today we have a spaghetti feed down at Anderson VFW. I believe it starts at 4, and it is for raising funds for the honor guards that go out to Igo Cemetery. They did about 200 services last year, and so usually it comes out of their pocket. So we're trying to help them out. The spaghetti feed is $5. It's really cheap. So come out and show your support. Again, that's at the Anderson VFW Hall. And then the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center is having a fundraiser on February 1st at Wind River. Doors open at 4:30. Dinner's at 6:30. Lots of good items that are going to be auctioned off. And I believe tickets are $30 for single, $50 for couple, and $400 for a table.
Yeah, and Lyndon, in fact, today and Sunday and probably Monday would be the last days that we will accept. We're just about full for,
nice.
For that fundraiser.
Good.
So the table sponsor at $400 is really a spectacular deal when you consider that's dinner for eight, and you're going to get a $400 value raffle pack included in that, all for $400. So that's a giveaway price, and, of course, it certainly worked because we're almost full. But I think we have about two tables left. And
nice.
Monday we will most likely shut that down.
And again, there's a lot of good items that are going to be auctioned. I'm sure you got some nice things down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we're going to have around 30 firearms, so lots of guns. And of course that's,
nice.
You know, if I sold tires for a living, it would be tires. But in, you know, I sell guns for a living, so it's
going
to be guns.
And
that's terrible that we have to have that.
And what a job you do selling them.
So again, that is on February 1st. So if you need tickets or more information, get a hold of Patrick.
Very good. I just had one little, I'm not sure where we're going to go today. I guess we'll go on the latest. What are we talking about? Are we talking about guns or what?
Well, there's a lot going on. Obviously, we can talk about anything at City Hall. That's always fair game.
Yeah,
yeah, that was part of what we wanted to talk about was
yeah,
the,
there was some things
the land.
Yeah, the land that seems to have different valuations and depending on who's looking at it and what kind of value you're putting on it.
And where we go from here.
I just had a little brief thing that we can talk about here though. And, you know, this comes from the, NFIB, which is the National Federation for Independent Businessmen. And, it's talking about the, in 2014, state business, tax climates. And, you know, so we're talking about location, location, location. When it comes to restarting or relocating your small business, it matters more now than ever, according to the State Business Tax Climate Index report from the Tax Foundation, a nonpartisan Washington, D.C.-based think tank. This year, small businesses in Wyoming, South Dakota, and Nevada will enjoy the most favorable taxes nationwide, according to the report. That's because those taxes, those states levy no corporate or individual income tax. Meanwhile, California, New Jersey, and New York are ranked as the worst places to own or relocate a business due to their complex tax structures and comparatively high rates. Now, so the best ones, the top 10 for the best place to go to your business is Washington, South Dakota, Nevada, Alaska, Florida. Wyoming, South Dakota, Nevada, Alaska, Florida, Washington, Montana, New Hampshire, Utah, and Indiana. And I mean, I know this is going to be blow your mind, right? Because, you know, we there's no way we would know who the worst ones are, right?
Right. Wouldn't be,
New York, New Jersey, California, Minnesota, Rhode Island, Vermont, North Carolina kind of surprises me a little bit. Wisconsin, Connecticut, and Maryland. Now, so these, if we look at this, it looks like that, you know, the businesses are starting to boom in these states that are business friendly, lower taxes, at least doing a lot better than the worst states like New York and California. How are we doing on the unemployment rate here in California? I mean, Jerry Brown said we're recovering well.
Yeah.
I mean, did everybody hear his speech last week? I mean, I've been knee deep in the hoopla before, but.
It's all good now, Mark.
Yeah, it's all fixed.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, there was no problem before.
Yeah. If you don't think about it, it's all better.
Just write us a check, shut up, and go home. I mean.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, I was listening to his economic. I mean, I don't know where these guys took economics at. You know, the old joke is go to Harvard and turn left, but,
maybe the same place Obama did.
Well, I think Obama was actually teaching it, even though he never took the course.
And nobody ever could see him or find him, but.
Yeah, because the jury's still out on this guy if he's even an American citizen.
Well, the fact of the matter, Mark, both houses in the legislature in California, both the Senate and the Assembly, they're passing so many new laws each year, around 1,000, and these are all things that you're no longer able to do or restrictions or regulations, and they keep coming.
It's like 1,800 in California or something, isn't it?
It's a huge number, and low years there's around 700 bills passed, and other years it's much higher than that. And so, you know, and they still don't understand why the legislature does not understand why California businesses are leaving at an all-time rate. And what it's ending up with is while we may still have a population that's slightly on the rise, it's a different type of people than the people that are leaving. And it's a shocking difference as to who's staying and who's leaving. And those that are leaving are the people that were good, solid producers that contributed to our communities throughout California. All 488 cities needed those type of people. And because of what they're doing in Sacramento, these companies are now leaving at an all-time rate, and the legislature still doesn't understand that the bills that they pass are what's doing it.
You know, it's like, don't you care about the children? I mean, that's the kind of answers that we get from these guys. You know, aren't you going to stay and sweat and toil and you know, use your life essence to work for a business to try to make some success out of this thing so you might have something to retire on? Or give it all away to everybody else who really doesn't want to have that kind of ambition.
The good news in all this is because they don't understand, because they don't get it, because the chairman of the budget committee is a 34-year-old that has never had a job in the private sector, the public is understanding it, and that's why we're starting to see movements like the state of Jefferson,
right,
like the two Californias, like the six California split. We're seeing this now being pushed all over California because we have no representation here. but others are saying the same thing. We're not getting representation anywhere in California, and the legislature is out of control and no longer representing the people anywhere.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit when we come back from the break, because I want to talk about this Reynolds versus Sims a little bit, because I think that is one of the dynamics of this thing that could change the game across the board. And so I guess we should go to a break.
Okay, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Go find a network won't treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country. Well, it used to be easy, get a place, build a house. Now the EPA said no, that's the home of the blue mouse. Don't tread on me.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with three locations to serve you. Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family, helping family.
Does your New Year's resolution include buying a new home? If so, contact the team at North Valley Bank's Home Loan Center. They work to make the home buying process as simple as possible for you. You'll find experienced loan officers and a variety of loan programs, including VA, FHA, USDA, and HomePath mortgage loans. Some loans may even allow up to 100% financing. Programs for properties that might not qualify for traditional financing are also available. Learn more at a local North Valley branch or home loan center today, or give us a call at 800-390-8054, and we'll take your application over the phone. For 24-hour convenience, visit us online at novb.com. We have lots of ways to simplify your home buying process, so make us your first choice when buying that new home. North Valley Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
Welcome back, Sovereign Mind Radio. We're here talking about all things sovereign and how we need to take our country back and get the liberal politics out of the deal. I mean, I'm not going to go as far as to do a Cuomo on you, but I guess we call that the opposite of Cuomo. That sounds funny. That's a Cuomoism.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far with that because I know where we're headed. So, anyway, I wanted to talk about this Reynolds versus Sims just a little bit before we get into the local issues. And this is the court case in 1962 where the Supreme Court of the United States reversed the constitutional way that senators were elected to the United States Senate as well as to the state Senate senators. It used to be that it was based that each county, regardless of their population, would elect one senator each, and then they would elect the U.S. senator. The Supreme Court of the United States reversed that with Reynolds versus Sims. And when you understand the power of that, it took me a little while to get this because you're thinking, well, what has that got to do with the price of tea in China? But what it did was it took all of the power out of the hands of rural America and put it into the population centers. And I can't remember who the quote was from, but basically they said, if you can control the population centers now, you control the United States. Now you control you control everyone through this system. If this could be reversed, it would make that all of the counties would now elect the U.S. senators of their state. Now, can you imagine in California, right now we got 26 senators in L.A. and one in the North State. Well, if that was reversed, we would now have, 20 senators in the North State and one in L.A. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The power has completely reversed. Now, do you think Boxer and Feinstein would be afraid of that happening?
Well, of course they would be.
Slightly, I think.
Yeah. And if you think about that in terms of all 50 states, unless you're Obama, then there's 57. But, and maybe there will be 57.
I was going to say, maybe by the time we're done, we might have 57.
Yeah, people are kind of getting upset about this stuff because the real deal is that we no longer have a Republican form of representative government, which is guaranteed both at the federal and state level. And that's a problem. What do you think, Pat?
No, I would agree. And, clearly the times that I've gone down to Sacramento, these people do not represent any of the counties from the north, and I'm not sure if they represent any of the counties in the Bay Area or beyond. And it is beyond out of control. From what I've seen, the type of regulation that they come with, and they come forward each and every year, passing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bills. There's clear today that most people in our neck of the woods no longer feel that this is our state and that we're free and something must be done.
Well, and the lawlessness continues. I'm looking at a little article here from Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, and he's talking about that they're continuing the challenge against the lawlessness of the administration. The administration won't their selective prosecution across the board is ridiculous. So we have we've lost total control at the local, state, and federal level. And I think that part of this, and Glenn Beck talked about this early on, like 3 or 4 years ago, and I never got what he was saying about, electing the senators. But this would reverse this whole problem and give us back a constitutional republic with, Republican form of government at the local county level. Now, that's why I think the state of Jefferson has a huge chance of winning, because if they start attacking this, as opposed to just going after, if the legislature in California and in Washington says, hey, we're not going to buy into any of this, we're not letting you go, then they start attacking this as a huge issue, I think that they'll have enough leverage, because all of these senators across the United States are going to be a little paranoid, because this could completely take their power away from them and get back to the rural America.
Well, and with the Supreme Court, and you've seen the decisions over the years, and many of them have been very split.
Right.
And depending who's on the Supreme Court depends on the opinion that you get. And so it's not really a matter of justice. It's a matter of who's in the White House.
Right.
And who's up and who's going to resign and what Supreme Court justices may be appointed. A lot of these decisions come down to one single swing vote, and so much has, changed and so much rides on that. And of course I'm disappointed with the Supreme Court on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And it's all who you have on it. It's not about we should be seeing a lot more consistency, but yet we see a lot of split votes, and it's clear it's still down party lines.
Well, that's why we've got to get back, because the alternative to getting back to the rural form of government power is that at some point in time we're going to have to revolt here. I mean, that's really the bottom line. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to go there. But the real deal is that we will have a violent revolution at some point if we don't start getting a Republican constitutional form of government at the local level, because I don't know about you, they're not going to take my rights away very easily.
Right.
Well, and I like what they're doing in Siskiyou County. They didn't choose to run away. They stood and fought.
Right.
And they're standing up. They're not going to leave their ground. That soil is important to them. It's been in their families for generations. And instead of doing the easy thing, which it would be easy just to move to a different state, Wyoming, many other states out
Chile.
There. I'm not that far away.
They have a Gulch in Chile now, right out of an Ayn Rand.
But these are proud Americans, and we believe strongly in the foundation of our Constitution and what this country can do for us. It is the best country in the world, and it's time to stand and fight. It's not time to leave.
Right.
If we can't fix the problems in our own county, in our own state, then we really can't fix the problems of this country.
There's going to be no place to run to if we don't start fixing this, is what it amounts to. Listen, I think we got Terry on the line. Terry, are you there?
I'm here, guys. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. You sound like you got a cold or something.
I know. It's like the plague has happened here in the last month or something. First the stomach, then the head.
Boy, don't come down to the station, Terry.
I won't, brother. I won't. Good show. Anyway, I want to encourage you guys because the Sims versus Reynolds court case of 1964 did have an argument with Brown versus Thompson. And it's interesting that Patrick would mention Wyoming because that's where it happened. And the Brown versus Thompson case actually ruled for the county that the county would receive representation because they had not had representation and they could show harm in not being represented as far as the Constitution. So interesting that Wyoming was brought up because that actually happened in 1969. So that was around 15 years after the Warren Court.
Wow. Wow. Very good.
Yeah, I remember that. I was one.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think that people are really changing. I mean, there are three counties engaged in the state of Jefferson movement that are in. Clinton County going 5-0 was exciting. And there are three other counties that are on the boards. There's a big town hall on February the 4th in Del Norte County at the fairgrounds at 6 o'clock. There's another huge town hall in Live Oak, which will encompass the counties of Sutter, Yuba, Placer, and Sierra. And those are the counties that will be there, and we expect around 1,000 people. We're having another town hall. The nice thing is we're getting a lot of the supervisors coming to these. But, Patrick, I want to thank you personally for what you do for us here and how you fight for the people and you listen to the people because it's getting to be rarer and rarer as we go on in this process to see how our elected officials get elected, and you can have 70% of the people wanting something, and they're on the complete opposite side, yet we elect them to do what it is the will of the people is.
Well, I appreciate it, Terry, but I also want to thank you for what you've done in this movement. It's continuing to surprise me every day, the amount of people coming forward. And with regards to Shasta County, while our supervisors right at the moment we may or may not have a majority of them, I believe if you asked every person in Shasta County, I think you would see that this county is ready to separate from the state of California as well, even though the supervisors may have cold feet, if you will.
Well, I know that the smallest margin on a poll that we've done here has been 66% for. But there seems to be three categories of people. One is, yeah, that sounds great. Let's get behind it. We need to do it because we don't really have a choice. Number two is the category of, gosh, I wish we could do it, but, you know, I just don't think we'd be able to pull it off, but it sure would be great if we could. And number three category is, that'll never work. You guys will never do it. And that seems to be where a lot of our elected officials, unfortunately, fall into category number three.
That's the I'm smarter than you category.
Yeah, and you're right, Terry, and I don't understand their thinking because, again, one of the supervisors from Glynn County said it very well on TV the other day that we're not doing this because we think it's easy.
Right.
We know that it's difficult, but if you don't take a stand today, if you can't stand up for the people, especially as an elected representative, you know, what are you doing?
Well, that's exactly right. Who are you representing? If the majority of the people in your county say, hey, we want to try to go for this, and you're the minority, and who are you representing? The minority of the people. Well, what's going on with that? I mean, isn't that what this is supposed to be about, is to represent the majority of the people in your county as a supervisor?
Well, I want to be kind of fair to some of these people and the supervisors because I've called a couple of them. They have been open to talking. Les Baugh did show up at the town hall, and when asked, there was 400 people, and when asked and you guys were all there, you know, how many people here are in favor of the state of Jefferson? Everybody in the room raised their hand. So he saw that. I think that there's a lot of things to where the, you know, it's just the education of it. I mean, every supervisor I've talked to, in fact, we talked to people in the Senate and the Assembly, and none of them even knew about Reynolds versus Sims. It was amazing. They don't even know how we got to where we are and why they can't do what they can do. But I will say this, that in talking to two of our elected officials who I respect a lot, and that's Senator Nielsen and Doug LaMalfa, in talking to both of them, I asked them, I said, hey, guys, if you've got a better way or anything else we can do, I'm in. They didn't have a better way or anything else we could do. So really and truly, I think the reality is that the movement for the state of Jefferson, which is totally different than it's ever been in this particular regard, is the only choice we have to get our voices being heard.
Well, it's either that or we implode financially, and that's kind of what's happening right now. I mean, and, you know, the liberals are in denial that anything's going to happen here. You know, they think that, oh, we can just go on doing this at the federal and the state level, that, you know, $17 trillion, what is it in California? You know, $900 billion with unfunded liabilities? I mean, you can't even comprehend some of these things, and they act like nothing's going to happen. We can just keep borrowing money.
You know, and for every group of people that is alive today in Northern California, the mandates out of Sacramento affect them greatly, far more than they know. And getting out from under those ridiculous mandates is going to improve all of our lives. And I think as the days and the months pass, people are going to understand that it doesn't have to be this way. It can be better. We can run our own lives much better, and we'll be able to prove it here shortly. And so I'm excited about that.
And with that, we're going to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Ladies, one of the wisest things you can do this holiday season is sign yourself up for Skinny Jeans Body Design Program coming this January. Adamson's Peak Performance has figured out the best type of training for all of our fit females in Reading and beyond. We go past mindless hours on treadmills to smart training that gets you back into your skinny jeans. And these groups are not just for the skinny. If you've ever glanced at the jeans in your closet that you used to get into, this class is for you.
Call now. Tell them Carla Linda sent you. Adamson's Peak Performance, 221-8006.
The Northern California Veterans Museum cordially invites you to our fundraising banquet and auction, Saturday, February 1st, 2014, at Wind River Casino. Our mission is to remember and never forget our American military heroes. So come join us for a great, fun-filled evening and support the Northern California Veterans Museum. For tickets, contact Jones Fort at 222-3223 and North Valley Bank Loan Center at 226-2930. Together, we can build a world-class museum in Northern California.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Join We the People Radio for 2 hours every Sunday morning here on AM 1460 with Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff. We talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Yep, every Sunday you get to learn the entire issue from the experts in their field, things that the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites.
Join us this weekend, and don't forget, Sovereign Minds with Mark and Linda Kent is moving to Sundays immediately following We the People starting February 2nd. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. Well, I really like 22 Mag, 45 the Winchester tag. I like my double barrel, had it most of my life. 357 was a present for my wife.
I like guns.
I think we all do.
Yeah, I couldn't help it.
God bless America.
Absolutely. Anyway, let's talk about this land deal. I mean, I don't know if I'm missing something, but I, you know, the information I'm getting is that, you know, we got three different appraisals for this land deal over here with the McConnell Foundation, and there's, you know, 11 acres or something, and, you know, they're basing the appraisal on a lease value when there's really not a lease value. It's more like a sell or a gift. And so you got to know more about this than I do, because I don't get it.
Well, I might know a little bit more, as much as we're told on this thing. So let's back up a little bit. What we're talking about is there's three entities involved. Their course is Turtle Bay, and the land that's being offered to them by the city of Redding is 14.1 acres down in that area, right in front of Turtle Bay Exploration Park and the McConnell Foundation. And so you have Turtle Bay, the McConnell, and this sale is going from the city of Redding to the McConnell Foundation, not to Turtle Bay. And yet, but it's for Turtle Bay, but it's going to McConnell Foundation. So their goal was to put a Sheraton hotel down in that area. And now I didn't support that. And the reason why is that that area is not conducive to public safety and to that area as to what it should be used for. It is public property, and a hotel doesn't fit in that area. And I think if anyone else in this town, if any developer wanted to put a hotel down there, they would be denied from the Planning Commission without question. In fact, they wouldn't even have brought it up. And in fact, no one has brought it up because it's impossible. But yet, anything Turtle Bay and McConnell Foundation wants to do, they can. There's appropriate places for hotels in this town, and it's not down in our art and cultural center, if you will.
So what is Turtle Bay, a stockholder in McConnell Foundation or something? Why would they have so much interest in helping the McConnell Foundation?
Well, I suspect that the McConnell Foundation is no longer wanting to subsidize Turtle Bay, and that if they can create things on that piece of property in that area that are financially sound, private sector ventures, and of course subsidized by the taxpayer, of course, then they no longer have to support Turtle Bay, and I think that's the end game for them. But this land deal, this thing smells, and it smelled from the very beginning. It continues to smell. In fact, it's getting a bit stinkier as time goes on. The amount was 5 acres, and it increased to 14.1. Turtle Bay and McConnell have not said what the extra land would be used for, other than just accompanying things.
Now, isn't that part of what they want in the agreement? Bless you. Is that there's no restriction on the rest of the land?
Well, they'll still have to go before planning and so forth, but the idea is that is publicly owned land. There is no real reason for us to sell it to McConnell or Turtle Bay or for anybody else for that matter. Then to say that because this lease, and keep in mind, leases of city property to different nonprofit groups, in the past we used to do 50-year leases. We don't do those any longer. Today we do 5 and 10-year leases. That way if things change, the public still has control over that land. These folks got a 50-year lease, and then they also got the ability for themselves to extend it another 50 years. Now, that doesn't happen. That is unprecedented. No one has ever gotten that except for Turtle Bay. And so that essentially ties that land up for them for 100 years. It's unprecedented that type of control would be given to that type of group.
In this day and age, for sure.
We don't do it. I don't know if we've ever done it in the city's history with anybody, to be honest, yet we do it with them. Now, the difference here is that if they were paying a real lease, it would probably be $300,000-$500,000 a year for that entire piece of property. But they've been paying $1 a year, so highly subsidized lease. Wow. And that's okay for a nonprofit. We have a precedent of doing that. But now when you want to put a value on it to buy it, and you want to keep that 100-year lease on there that's a $1 a year lease, no, you don't get it both ways. But yes, they will get it both ways. And they will appraise the property. They have appraised the property with that lease intact, a subsidized lease. The private sector unions, they're not buying it. I mean, they can see right through that. This is a gift of public funds. It's highly subsidized. It's going to be subject to prevailing wage, and they will prevail on it. So what's the end game here for Turtle Bay and McConnell? It's really about owning a piece of land and being able to cut out city council and future councils from the decisions of control. We're, of course, elected by the people. McConnell and Turtle Bay are elected by none.
How come Turtle Bay gets such favored status from the city councils? I don't get the relationship there because it seems like a big money pit to me.
Well, whenever you follow the money, and when you see very powerful people, you see a strong relationship with the city of Reading. In this case, McConnell Foundation is the largest landholder inside the city of Reading. They have a good relationship with the city. I would say the connection with the city is probably too close, closer than I would like. My job is to scrutinize all these things and make sure that the public and the public funds are being spent wisely and correctly. When we see our former city manager, Mike Warren, at Turtle Bay and being the CEO there, for example, and how much money the city of Reading and your tax dollars has gone into Turtle Bay, and then our former city manager there making a profit, making a sizable wage, that concerns me. I think that's inappropriate, and people, of course, and myself have voiced concerns over that. I think that creates an umbilical cord from Turtle Bay to City Hall, and that must be broken. I have seen emails from our city attorney, Rick DuVernay, to Mike Warren, that go beyond an inch thick. And so it makes me ponder and wonder if our city attorney, is he working for the residents of City of Reading, or is he working for Turtle Bay and Mike Warren? And some of the content that I've seen within those emails, which is public information, makes me believe that that might not be the case.
Well, let's step back a little bit and ask about the money. Let's go back to the money. So, is there a quantifiable sum on how much money that the city has poured into Turtle Bay and how much they've gotten back? And, I think the justification would be that it's a tourist, bringing tourist dollars in, and that would then go into the city coffers to help, supplement the amount of outlay. Is my thinking correct on this? And is there some numbers there that we could actually go over?
For many years, the city of Reading has supported Turtle Bay to a tune of about $750,000 cash out of the general fund per year.
Wow.
And that went on for a very long time. Around 2006 and 7, when I was elected, I felt that was inappropriate, and those numbers started to be reduced. I called for the elimination of those dollars to Turtle Bay, that they must run on their own and be profitable upon their own and live within their own means. Those monies amount went down, not to my liking, but they did go down, and eventually they ended the cash subsidies. They still get other subsidies and electric utility discounts and so forth. So yes, there has been, millions of dollars of your tax dollars, your local tax dollars, put into Turtle Bay. Now, fundamentally, I just think that's wrong. Now, some would disagree with me, but when you really look, when you really get down to what the role of your local government is funding a museum on a yearly basis with cash, is that the fundamental role? And I would say I'm standing on pretty solid ground saying no, it's not.
Well, if you're working for Turtle Bay, that's kind of a cash cow, isn't it?
Well, I hate to use that term. It's used a lot in this town. But the reality here is that, we can't fix our roads. We're behind on our infrastructure.
Unfunded
liabilities, pensions, post-retirement health care, the list goes on, and just sheer debt as well. And then the question is this land, and what would be fair to the public. This is owned by you and me. This is public land. This is not the city of Reading. There is no city of Reading. It is the people of Reading. This is our land, and it really should not be for sale. It's not in an area that we deemed surplus, and let's sell it. We've got lots of pieces of property that we should be selling, mind you, throughout the city, and working on some of those. But this land shouldn't be for sale. And really, the deal that was constructed, in my opinion, is going to create yet another legal quagmire when we have the city doing an appraisal, McConnell Foundation doing an appraisal, and now a third appraisal because they were more than 15% apart. the city of Reading cannot sell a piece of property for less than what we appraise it for. And then the appraisal, I think, was flawed because we put a lease in, a fictitious lease, if you will, for a dollar a year and take that into consideration. The real value of the land is somewhere between $4 and $5 million. That's what the taxpayer should have in their pocket. That's what we should have back at City Hall coffers, and we're not going to get anything close to that. I think this gives the unions quite a strong legal challenge on this, and I'm sure they will prevail. And I think McConnell and Turtle Bay is smart enough to know that they're going to prevail on this. So there's something else going on here, and I don't believe this is about prevailing wage. I think this is a land grab in the heart of our city, where when you look around this particular area, it's a very interesting area, you see at least $100 million of public funds invested. I'll say that again. $100 million of public funds invested into this general area when you're talking about Dana to downtown, Turtle Bay, and all those things that the public has been involved in. And now they're going to get a key piece of that property for peanuts. I think this is not going to stand up to the public scrutiny.
Wow. With that, I think we'll go to a break.
Okay. Yeah, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
What does a tightly wound, very organized psychologist have in common with a freewheeling, unemployed addict? Nothing much, except a New York Times crossword puzzle and a car on the BART train all to themselves. You want to be along for this highly entertaining ride? Two Across by Jerry Mayer, directed by Kay Overbay, featuring Lisa Murphy Collins and Bob Corlick. Now playing at the Riverfront Playhouse. Reserve your tickets now at the Cascade Theater box office, 243-8877, or at cascadetheater.org.
Crab season is officially open. Your local community banks are proud to bring you the 27th annual One Safe Place Crab Feed on Saturday, February 1st. While enjoying all the crab you can eat, you'll have an ocean of fun and help provide shelter and care to local victims of abuse. Tickets are available at 2280 Benton Drive or online at ospshasta.org. Sponsored in part by Reading Bank of Commerce, Tri-Counties Bank, North Valley Bank, and Cornerstone Community Bank. KRCR News Channel 7 and this radio station. For more information, call 244-0118 or visit ospshasta.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 women will be assaulted sometime in their life and that college-aged women are 4 times more likely to be assaulted? Enter Damsel in Defense. Damsel in Defense has a fun and sassy line of personal safety products like stun guns, pepper sprays, and personal alarms designed for women. To see the Damsel in Defense products, to have a home personal safety party of your own, or to start your own damsel career, call Elizabeth at 530-605-7501.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Did you pick that one, Savannah?
You think, but I do.
She'll never tell.
Yeah, man, that's Bob Marley, you know, man. No problem. Let's see where we're at. Listen, I on the state of Jefferson thing, I want to go back to it just for a quick second because, you know, something, I do not want to live in a state without a major league ballpark, okay?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Because I just don't know what it would be like. I would rather give up all my freedom.
Well, yeah.
And have no representation and live in a communist state rather. But
that's very important. But
we have a professional ball team.
You know, for an elected, city council member to speak, of that and not jokingly really, that.
No, she was serious.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't joking, this would not be good because we wouldn't have a professional team. Really speaks volume, as to who we might elect and what is important, what is on the minds of the people of Redding and Shasta County. And you know, at the end of the day, a professional ball field is really not important, not to any significant amount. It's entertainment for ourselves.
Do you think we could, I know. Is that ridiculous? You know, when you're more worried about a sports team, than you are about, you know, taking care of the people in the economy, the businesses thriving, you know, growing businesses so that we're not all pouring on, you know, food stamps and welfare and finding a tent down in the park because we lost our house and our mortgage is gone. You know, it's just unreal. So with that, that kind of segues us right into, I want to talk about, you know, this ballpark and, you know, it seemed like there was a little quid pro quo. I think is how you say it. Quid pro quo.
Part of the equation for what's going on down there at Turtle Bay.
Is that in the mix here, Patrick?
Well, who knows? I mean, it's been in the paper that me and Mayor Bozzetti has had a spat, and that's really not the case. That is, in the minds of the Record Searchlight, what happens, because that might sell a newspaper
or two.
Do they actually have
minds down at the Record Searchlight?
They're not selling papers.
To be honest, the paper is struggling. And they're more interested in trying to create a tabloid-style hit piece as opposed to printing the truth. Now, on that particular night, we had a gentleman that came forward, and he was a youth coach at Tiger Field, and he was saying that, hey, I'm not getting very much youth play, that the collegiate play is taking precedence. And, of course, Mayor Bozzetti does the collegiate play there. Now, that was a real question. I think he was honest and sincere about it. And if the paper wanted to talk about it, then talk about it. But instead, because I told the gentleman, hey, if you got an issue that's pertinent to the affairs of the city, come to City Hall, then it became an issue between me and Bozzetti, and that's what the paper they knew the real story. The story is youth play being pushed out for collegiate play at Tiger Field. They didn't want to print the truth about what the gentleman was talking about, and I think he was credible. They wanted to talk about some sort of fictitious spat between me and Bozzetti. And that's unfortunate because, you know, we only have really one paper here in Reading, and when they choose not to print the truth and go to tabloid-style journalism, this is what we get. And people then don't know the truth. And it's unfortunate because I think not only does myself as an elected official, but the paper has a responsibility to tell the truth.
You think?
And the public is not getting the truth.
No,
and it's
not.
Very sad.
Well, it's been like with the Tea Party from day one. We were racist. We were homophobes. Anything in the world to paint us and demonize us, because what were we talking about? Let's see. Limited government. We need smaller government, and it needs to be fiscally responsible. And that was pretty much the message across the board. And that somehow gets translated into everything but the message, and that was the game plan.
Well, that's the problem with most of the newspapers and the mainstream media is they don't do journalism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
like they're supposed to be doing.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm looking at this Tom Fitton, who is one of the Judicial Watch, one of the best attorneys in the country, talking about the lawlessness of the Obama administration. They've changed the Obamacare just as one example 17 times, I believe it is. You know, we have a dictator now? Is that how it works? Well, none of that gets reported in our local paper about anything important. It's all about, us against them. This, you know, anything to sensationalize.
Yeah, they're supposed to be reporting the facts and not putting their spin on it.
Do I sound like I'm a little bit irritated with the Record Searchlight? Maybe.
You know, we have, to change subject a little bit and go back where we were a tad bit.
Sorry,
you know,
I went off the deep end.
We have a very valuable thing here in the city of Reading, and that's the Civic Auditorium, the Rodeo Grounds. Those are some historic areas, and Turtle Bay is important as well. And we would like to see down there a real master plan for that entire area and support those historic things that we've been doing. We hear about Turtle Bay and the expansion of all these things that they want to do. You don't see a lot of talk. In fact, the city's response to the Civic Auditorium just a short time ago was, let's just shut it down for 2 years because we can't run it. Well, there's a newsflash there. The city can't really run much of anything.
It's not a business.
They have no idea how to be frugal. They have no idea how to run a business. That is not what they do. And they're not good at it. And they should have never been involved in running the Civic Auditorium. Let a producer do that. And that building can do phenomenally well for the residents of City of Reading, who, by the way, they paid for it. And let's support it. And the rodeo grounds the same way. And I'm afraid with all this other talk of more land being sold, that it pushes these other uses, these great uses that have had a good historic time here in Reading and have really served the community well. It puts pressure on them as to what are you going to do for competing space and time and safety and traffic and parking and all these things down there. And so we're not really looking at the bigger picture why we should. And it's really surprising on by the city because we typically would look at the big picture, but here we're focusing in on Turtle Bay and 14 acres, and we're not looking at what that is going to do to the other uses that are there. And I'm afraid that it'll put pressure on them to make them leave. And it changes the complexity, and it changes what we do in that area. And it's upsetting to me, and it's upsetting to some of the groups, because we want to support those things that are there today. And if you're going to put new things in, then that needs to be a community discussion. And we're not getting that community discussion. And clearly, when you sell a chunk of land there, you're taking the public out of that talk. And that's what this is about. This is a land grab from McConnell Foundation that should not be. The public should not tolerate this. It's not available. It should not be for sale at any price, let alone a giveaway price.
Yeah, we need a new paper.
Our city attorney should be all over this, complaining that this is a bad raw deal for the public. But he's not there. Hmm. Who is he representing? Well, he's not elected, nor is your city manager elected, but there are five of them that are, and they need to be held accountable.
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, I think that we need to, on this next election coming up, maybe we need to get a few new people in there, some new blood.
Well, it's, you know, I'm up for re-election as well. And I can announce it right here, first time on air that
so we got an exclusive.
You've got an exclusive.
It's our first exclusive, Patrick.
All right.
That I will be running again and seeking a third term on Reading City Council, and that came with a lot of thought for myself. I had not wanted nor planned on doing that. Two terms was what all I wanted to do. And I had gotten myself elected very difficult, but I did.
Well, we need you, Patrick. We really do. We need you on there because we got to get guys on there.
Yeah, we need more people like Patrick on there.
Conservative people who are trying to do the right thing for the country, the city, the community, not for their own private ends.
And that ultimately is the decision why I'm going to run again. So it'll be an important year. The opportunity for me to get reelected and also to see a new person or new persons is the reason why. If I'm simply going back in the same makeup that we are today, I don't really do a whole lot of good, to be honest. Sitting in a minority position is not too fun, you know, for year after year. However, we have an opportunity coming up here at the end of the year in November to elect some new people. And I tell you, if you can't make some changes in your city, how can you do it in the county or your state? But we can.
Absolutely.
And it's up to the public.
That's where we have to make the changes,
well,
is at the local level.
We're running out of time.
We need to announce. Do you have a panel today?
Today is an interesting day. We get to take on, me and Sheriff Tom Bazinko, get to take on the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence. They like to use that term, and I'll be talking about that term today at 12:30 at the Pilgrim, Congregational Church. Wherever the heck that is, because I don't go there. But nevertheless, it's at 12:30. Google that and find out where it's at.
Yeah,
it's at 2850 Foothill Boulevard.
There we go.
Yeah, that whole, gun-free zone, not really working out, because if you look at the highest crime rate communities in the country, they're all the gun-free zones.
Well, and we'll talk about what it's really about. And as soon as they mention gun, it's about really about control of people.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what Mao Zedong said. Hey, you control all the guns, you control all the people.
Also, I want to mention that we have a rally today for geoengineering at Churn Creek and Dana, and I believe that starts at 10:30, just so the people know out there.
And don't forget, we'll be on at a new time starting next week on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People. So now we got a three-hour slot on Sunday. And then the State of Jefferson guys will be in here at 8
in
o'clock.
In our slot, yeah.
In our slot on Saturday. We've been here for, what, 3-4 years now, and we're time to move into a different slot and hopefully get a wider-ranging audience and keep going.
Well, and I appreciate, Mark and Linda, what you guys have done. And, you know, this station, particularly 1460, has so many different voices from the public. You don't find it anywhere else. And the community really does support you. And, you know, they don't often thank you enough for being that voice out there. But I can tell you there are people that do listen and they do thank you.
We appreciate that.
Totally appreciate that. You can't tell how, I mean, can't even tell you how much that makes me feel good about what we're trying to do here. So anyway, I think we're at the end of the deal, you know, and I always have to go with my last quote here, which is from George Washington. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force, like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And we want to thank you again, Patrick, for coming in and sharing the time with us.
Thank you, guys.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands.
SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Syria's government and the Western-backed opposition say they are focusing on humanitarian aid as they talk face-to-face for the first time in Geneva, Switzerland, about the ongoing conflict. The two sides are not expected to speak directly as they start their second meeting today. U.S. stock markets swooning after some fears about manufacturing in China and some other indicators this week made some investors head for the door on Wall Street, with the Dow losing about 500 points between Thursday and Friday. Jack Albin is chief investment officer at BMO Private Bank, sounding a somewhat optimistic note.
I still would characterize it as a correction. I think it's worth staying in. I don't view this as the beginning of a market plunge that we need to run away from, at least not yet.
Dow lost 318 points Friday. A judge in Texas orders a hospital to remove life support for a pregnant brain-dead woman. Tom Mayo of SMU Law School says he does not think this decision goes against